Blog Talk Radio.
I got a new walk and a new point of view, a new purpose for everything.
Great God evening, everyone. Hello, hello, and welcome to Totally Whole. I am your host, Pastor Bridget. And again, let me thank Dr. Rosemary Cook for this opportunity to host the radio show on tonight. Let me thank you also for tuning in to the show. I want to let you know that I am indeed appreciative. Now, let me ask you to do me a favor and help me out here. Text a friend, a foe. Yeah, a foe. Definitely considering what we're going to be talking about tonight. Or a family member, and invite them to tune in to Totally Whole Radio Talk Show. We're going to look at a topic, forgiveness, on tonight. So let me open up with a question. How do you see forgiveness? Is it hard for you to ask for forgiveness? Is that something difficult for you to do? Because I know for some people, asking for forgiveness is just as hard as forgiving someone. So if you had to draw a picture of forgiveness, what would it look like? So let's have some real talk for just a moment here. And I know I'm a witness to what I'm about to say to you. Have you ever felt like before you would forgive, you'd rather kick and scream and curse someone out and just tell them where they can get off and what they can do and how far it would take for them to go where they need to go? I'm talking some real talk, some for real people. If you felt like just putting somebody in their place and twisting them up like a pretzel, and telling them what's really on your mind, or putting on some boxing gloves before you would forgive them, and I'm throwing it out because that is some of the places where you and I have been. Some of us would rather, before we would say I forgive you, we rather go through all of those things before we actually would be ready and willing to forgive. Okay, and so tonight we're going to talk about what is forgiveness about. What is this thing called forgiveness about? When was the last time you had to forgive someone, or when was the last time you had to ask someone to forgive you? And one of the things I find interesting when talking about forgiveness is how people often like to deflect from their own responsibility in this thing called forgiveness by focusing on someone else's wrong or bad behavior. The other thing I find interesting is how people try to dictate when and how long it should take for someone else to forgive. They try to tell somebody how long they should, how long it should take and before they can forgive someone. So what is forgiveness about? I read somewhere where it says that forgiveness is an act of the will. The will is an act of the will. It is a decision that you and I make. It is also an act of mercy and grace. So with that said, let me say I'm so glad to have joining us this evening Pastor Ava Gaines as my special guest. She has been in ministry for over 28 years. She has a BA degree in political science from the University of Texas at Dallas, and a master's degree of theological studies from Perkins School of Theology at Southern Methodist University. Pastor Ava is an ordained elder in the AME Church and has been blessed to form blessed to pastor, rather, from as far east as Philadelphia to as far west as Anchorage, Alaska. My God, she's been some places. She is the author of The Daughters of Z and the founder and pastor of Messiah Temple Worship Center. And before we close the show tonight, Pastor Ava is going to tell us a little bit about what that book is all about, The Daughters of Z. So, Pastor Ava, welcome. Welcome to Totally Ho. It's a pleasure having
you
here.
Thank you, Pastor Bridget. Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored and privileged to be on the show tonight. God bless. God bless.
Wonderful. So, Pastor Ava, we're going to just dive right into our discussion on tonight. And so I want to start off by asking you, what do you believe forgiveness what is forgiveness? What do you believe forgiveness is about? What do you believe? Do you believe that forgiveness is always instantaneously, do you believe that it's a process? Can forgiveness be used as a weapon for good or bad? What say you about this thing called forgiveness?
Okay, God bless. Let me start off by saying this. I have had some horrible things done to me by my father, by people in the church, by church leaders. And, I was listening to you and, you were very diplomatic and saying that, okay, well, before I forgive, let me get this person told, or, do I cuss them out? But my thing was a little stronger. I was like, okay, now before I forgive, if I go by and blow their car up, how much prison time would I get? Because I have been so enraged and so furious as to, what has been done to me and the things that people have said about me and whatnot. So for me, early on, even in ministry, having experienced, the works of, evildoers, for me, it was a process to try to forgive. Granted, it didn't come overnight. I remember vividly actually holding a grudge against a group of people. I held that grudge for almost 2 years, before I finally decided that, in order for me to move forward with the calling and the gifts that God has placed upon my life, I got to let this thing go. So forgiveness for some can be a process. I have pastored folks, down through the years, and they share with me out of the bosom of their heart, Pastor, this is what has happened to me, and I have sat there across the table and listened to them for almost an hour and a half, just expound on what was done, who did it, and the nature that it was done, and how it has affected them. Before I even said one word, they would say, "But Pastor, I'm gonna say this. You don't know how bad it hurt, and you'll never know the pain I've experienced." But when I get through listening and they get through laying out, their theses for why they feel like they need to be bitter and justified in their hatred, of this person and that person. I ask them, after listening to all of that, I say, "Well, let me ask you this. If this person," I said, "you plan on going to heaven?" Yeah, I'm gonna go to heaven. I said, "Okay, let me ask you this." I said, "You think you'll be able to spend eternity in heaven with the person that with a person A?" well, they ain't gonna, I can't even see God, allowing them. I said, but what if, they get it right with God and confess and then they make it to heaven and there they are in heaven with you. You gonna be all right with that? They have to pause and say, well, I said, because remember now, all of this pain and all of this drama and what you're dealing with, I said, there ain't going to be none of that in heaven. I said, so now, what will your position be in heaven if you see them? And then they kind of have to backpedal and then think and kind of, revisit, their whole treatise as to why they're justified in anger and holding on and having grudges. And I said, can you forgive? Are you willing to forgive? And some people, they stay mad, but then they say, I don't want this thing over my head. But some people, Pastor Bridget, I have found, for whatever reason, seem like because they feel like they're so wounded that they actually feel justified in hanging on to anger and to bitterness and refusing to release the perpetrator. And that's that becomes a dangerous plateau when you have, argued with yourself as to why, you feel justified into hanging on and not forgiving, your perpetrator. Because, because when we look at the biblical model of forgiveness, and if we're going to, continue to proclaim, to be proclaimers of the Christian gospel, then we have to look at what the scriptures say about forgiveness. Well, our tutor is Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Peter said, Jesus, now, do I forgive my brother or my sister, who has offended me? Do I forgive him seven times and that's it? And Jesus said, well, how about this, Pete? What about 70 times 7? How about that? So actually, Peter was looking on the premises. We have a format here. We forgive him seven times, but Jesus actually bumps it up. Really takes it up. Not just seven times, but how about this? 70 times 7. And of course, and that was just a kind of figurative language, and to say, okay, look, you forgive your brother and your sister as many times as it's needed. And for a lot of us, Pastor Bridget, we can't get there. We simply can't get there. And for some, it's a slow boat to China. It's a work in process, and unfortunately, some people never get there.
Let me say this. If I can just interject, and you're right, because I know there was a time in my life when you talk about Jesus modeled forgiveness for us and following his model and even as Christians, what tends to happen from my own personal experience. I could go to church. I could read that in scripture. Intellectually, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But heart-wise, translating that spiritually was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
There was a barrier. There was a blocker. There was something blocking it. There was something interfering with me being able to take it from the intellect to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we get stuck, because we can hear Jesus talk about, forgiving and, forgive them seven times 70, all of that. We know that, especially those of us who have been in Christ for some years. We understand the fact that he said that, I forgive you. Therefore, if I forgive you, we ought to show the same mercy, right? And so that's why I started talking about that forgiveness is an act of grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But because you know, and I know I'm not alone in that. I know that other folk who perhaps are listening may have been there and are still there with this whole forgiveness piece. And you talk mm-hmm. about having a right, because I felt that the person I held this unforgiveness for, I had a right. And let me tell you something. You talked about you held on to something for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
How about I held on to it all the way until I was 30-something years old. It started when I was about 19.
Mm-hmm.
So I was preaching the gospel. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
We having real talk, right? I was
mm-hmm.
preaching the gospel. Alrighty, and so from age 19 to age 35,
mm-hmm.
actually I was 30, I'm sorry, not 35, 33,
mm-hmm.
to age 33, I held on to that thing, and I could see that person, and I would walk by them as though I never, ever saw them a day in my life. Now, this is someone mm-hmm. that was very close, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I felt I had a right
mm-hmm.
to hold my offender hostage. And guess what? I felt
mm-hmm.
good about it. I felt
yeah.
good about it. And
yeah.
so that unforgiveness that I had for that person was something that allowed, and as weird as it is, as contradictory as it sounds, I felt that that thing gave me power
mm-hmm.
over the offense that was done. And
mm.
I nurtured that thing and felt good about it. However, it wasn't until a mentor of mine took me through the process of sharing with me the importance of walking this thing out. And that's why I say on this broadcast often, get a piece of paper, write this stuff down. It wasn't until I began to just write some of this stuff down and really look at myself,
mm-hmm.
and be true to the God that's in me, to
mm-hmm.
see really, is the God in me really reflecting? When I look at myself in the mirror, am I really reflecting the true essence of God and his forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to the realization, Bridget, you really aren't. And that caused, unbeknownst unto me, because I was, you know, now granted, I didn't see this person often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I thought about the person often either.
Mm-hmm.
However, but when something came up that triggered the memory of that person, is when the strong feeling
mm-hmm.
of the offense overcame me. And I could feel the intensity of the hate
mm-hmm.
that I had for that person. So,
and that's
when
what
I
is.
Came
it,
to a place.
That's
right,
what it is.
Absolutely.
If we're true with ourselves, that's what it is. It's hate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was hate. I had
mm-hmm.
a hate, and I despised him so much to the place
mm-hmm.
I wished that he would die.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's been there. How much I could care less about his soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was wrapped up in what I felt
mm-hmm.
was a justification
mm-hmm.
for holding on. And the
mm-hmm.
other thing I want to say, because I did ask the question about, you know, is forgiveness always instantaneous, or is
mm-hmm.
it a process? The other thing is, I also took in consideration even my own personality, my makeup, because some
mm-hmm.
people, their makeup is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some
mm-hmm.
people, even if they're not Christian, they have such a welcoming and embracing kind of spirit, you know. And so they may be quick. They may be a little quicker than others to forgive. And if I could, let me kind of like jump to Charleston 9, if I may, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our hearts and prayers go out to those family members, and we continue to pray for their healing,
mm-hmm.
And as well as that community, and indeed that church,
mm-hmm.
Mother Emmanuel.
Amen. Amen.
One of the things that was striking, and indeed has caused some great debate throughout the nation, is the fact that when the family members were given the opportunity to stand in the court,
mm-hmm.
and to look at their offender, the murderer of their
mm-hmm.
loved one,
mm-hmm.
and as we watched on television or was listening on the radio, we heard some of them one by one saying to the murderer, the killer,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
"We forgive you, and
that's
you know
right.
we pray for your soul
right.
and
that's
all
right.
of that." And some folk were like, "My God, how could they do that?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hasn't even yet been charged with anything, and they're saying that they forgive. And some folk were judging, well, are they forgiven because it was, you know, because they were hearing folk talking about the need for healing and moving on where they prompt to because of what they were hearing in the community and throughout the you know, the radio and the TV, where they somehow coerced, you know, somehow or another or unconsciously aware, you know, that's what they were doing. Well, I can't speak what was in their hearts. I can't speak what was in their hearts. And then some folk also said, you know, black folk are conditioned to forgive and just
mm-hmm.
look at the difference between the white folk who, you know, who stood in court with a young man who was a murderer up there in Boston who bombed, you know,
mm-hmm.
who set the bombs. And they, you know, they had a different response than the black folk did.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
historically, black folk have always been quick to forgive.
True.
The oppressor, that's their slave
true.
Master, I got to go there.
That's true.
Right?
That's
so,
true.
So, but the point is, what stood out about these people, and I don't know the history of those who stood in the courtroom with the young man up there in Boston. These people were raised in the Christian tradition.
Mm.
You see? And so, perhaps they had gotten to, you know, perhaps they obviously, not perhaps, but it appears they had obviously gotten to that place where they were able to transcend,
mm-hmm.
you see, transcend the circumstance of what happened and were able to tap into a reservoir of love and grace that some of us have not been able to or not able to do as quickly as they have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, that we must always model forgiveness. And I go back to my own situation with that one individual. That was the only one person that I have ever held on to unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never, ever, since that time, been in a place where I held on to the unforgiveness. And let me say this, it was so wonderful for me to be able to go to that place of healing where
mm-hmm.
I could finally release it, release the person, where I could finally let go. And there was something that was so supernatural and overwhelming. As much as it was overwhelming, the emotions of what the person did and what it caused me to feel was the overwhelming presence of God's divine power was even stronger. Was even stronger. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, is forgiveness always, you know, instant? Not always. And so sometimes it is a process. It is a process, and so let me ask you this: Do you think it's right, especially for those of us who deal with counseling and pastoring and empowering people, do you think it's right for us to give people their space to process? Or should we hurry them along? How do you feel?
Well, no, because, you know, forgiveness is like any other emotion, like anger, like grief. You know, it's not a quick fix. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, as you said, you know, we're all different. You know, the people who were harmed and who lost loved ones from the Boston bomber, you know, were, and even though he was given a death sentence, you know, and when they came out of that courtroom knowing that he was going to be put to death for his crime, you know, some of them were saying, you know, I'll never forgive him. You know, I don't accept it because he apologized in court. And, you know, see, now I'm sorry for the lives that I took. And, you know, some of them came out there, okay, you know, I'll never forgive him. You know, I don't accept his apology. And then we see the flip side of the coin in Charleston, where, you know, these people haven't even been, you know, dead a week. You know, and family members going to the courthouse, making their impact statement saying, I forgive you. You know, may God have mercy on you. So everyone is different. Case in point, my mother, and I'm not saying this because she's my mom, but, you know, because it's just who she is as a person. She's probably the most forgiving and most passive people I know. Like, you know, she has too suffered at the hands of my father and have experienced, you know, lies, you know, down through the years by family members. But my mom, you know, is so quick to just say, you know what, you know, I'm going to pray for that person. You know, I'm going to pray for your dad and I'm going to pray that they make it into heaven. Whereas me, you know, as I shared earlier, that, you know, in my 2 years of holding on and in the 2 years, I was like, okay, you know, they deserve to die and go to hell. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say this, since we're keeping it real, I was actually praying, you know, that God would strike them because, and I would use the scripture because, God, wait, you said in your word right here, touch not my anointed, neither do my servant, my prophet, no harm. So, God, I'm justified in praying and asking you to reap your vengeance upon them because they deserve it. Praying out of anger, praying out of hatred, and, you know, not realizing at the time that I too, you know, praying those type of prayers, I'm guilty, I'm wrong. But, you know, to go back, you know, to answering the question, you know, we do need to give people space, you know, to heal, because forgiveness, I think, is a healing process too, and you know, and me too. I'm not trying to get into the minds of the survivors of the Emmanuel 9, but, you know, I think with some of those who, now there was one family member who made it clear, you know, with CNN, you know, he's not there yet. He's not ready to forgive, and he doesn't know when he'll get there. You know, and he was actually a family member of one of the other family members who had actually gone to court to make an impact statement and told the killer, I forgive you, and I'm praying for you, and may God have mercy upon your soul. He was a I think, a nephew to one of the survivor that was actually in court making an impact statement. And he said, I'm not there yet. I don't know when I'll be there, and I'm not ready to forgive. So I think we as counselors, we as pastors, life coaches or what have you, you know, when people come to us, you know, with their hurts, their pains, their concerns, you know, and it has to do in the line of forgiveness, you know, we can't expect them or demand from them, you know, okay, I hear what you're saying, but okay, right now, before you leave my office, you got to forgive. We can't do that. I think that's kind of reckless. I know some pastors and some denominations, who are kind of rigid in scripture, you know, kind of, you know, hold that over people's heads to make them do that. But realistically, in a lot of cases, that's not even realistic.
Mm. Amen.
It's not even realistic, you know, to even, you know, put a demand, you know, on people who come to us, you know, for counseling, for help, for a pastoral direction, to just, you know, by the time you leave this office, you got to forget, because you got to give people time to heal. You got to give them time to, because at the end of the day, they're not making an apology to us, but at the end of the day, that's between them and God. So they'll have to take their all of the pain, the hurt, whatever has been done, and they'll have to take that to God, okay, and then begin to, you know, make their peace with God concerning the actions of their perpetrator or their offender. You know, so I think people need the space to heal. It took you umpteen years. It took me two. You know, I've known people who it has taken 30 and 40 years, you know, to actually, you know, actually forgive somebody, to relinquish it and let it go.
Good. Pastor Ava, just kind of picking back on something you had talked about in terms of it being reckless. I believe forgiveness without accountability can lead people to tolerate abuse and injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe that accountability without forgiveness becomes rigid legalism, empty of empathy and compassion. So I piggyback on what you were talking about in terms of,
mm-hmm.
you know, being rigid and reckless. And
mm-hmm.
reckless. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. Because what can happen is that we, as opposed to helping people become freer and delivering them and having them to transition, you know, from bondage
mm-hmm.
to a space of liberation, with that kind of suggestion and prompting and counseling or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
It could put a person in deeper, you know, in deeper bondage and in a
that,
deeper
that's true.
Hold.
That's true. Because you know you as the counselor, the psychiatrist, the pastor, you know, what have you, are kind of, you know, on a higher standard. So you know when patients, clients, you know, parishioners come to you, you know, for guidance, for counseling, for help, you know, you have to have accountability in the counseling and the advice, you know, that you're giving, you know, and again, you know, it is unreasonable to expect someone, you know, who have had tremendous, you know, atrocities, if you will, or offenses, you know, done to them, and expect them, you know, when they leave your office, you know, to just shake it off as if nothing happened. And again, you know, we have to allow people, because even when some of the offenses that we go through, a lot of it, a lot of times, you know, not only is it, you know, people need to find a, you know, a way to forgive, but a lot of times people are grieving as to what has been done to them. You know, they're actually grieving, and, you know, and we know that grieving, you know, it is a process. You know, so, you know, we have to, you know, help people, you know, walk it through, give them their space, but then, you know, I know that it can kind of be, you know, a tricky balancing act, you know, but you know, give them their space, but then, you know, we don't want them to remain that way, you know, to give the offender, to give the perpetrator power by them, you know, making a determination that I'll never forgive, you know, I'll never forgive. So it at times it can become a, you know, a fine line and a balancing act, and we kind of have to begin to, you know, find that niche, to where we can be helpful and the guiding them through the process, you know, without adding more hurt to it as well.
Mm-hmm. And let me say this. What scripture came to mind when we talk about, you know, forgiveness without accountability, Jesus demonstrated something really beautiful before us in scripture. Because I do believe, as I stated, that there ought to be accountability with forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to the woman that was caught in adultery, forgiveness we saw take place. He said, go.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he said, your sins are forgiven. Go and do what? Sin no more.
Sin no more. Mm-hmm.
There is accountability, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important to know and to tell folks. When we're talking about
Jesus,
forgiveness.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus has been I don't know a more truer role model when it comes to this thing called forgiveness than Christ. You know, we see it, you know, on when he was dying on the cross. But then again, check this out. Peter, he told Peter, look, you're going to lie. You know, you're going to lie, you're going to lie, you're going to lie.
Sure did.
You know what? And Lord, I know. You know, Peter lied anyway. But, you know, before Jesus went back, when he was crucified, dead, buried, and he rose from again, and he spent the 50 days on earth with his disciples teaching, one of the last things, his instructions to Peter, still after, Peter lying about even being a part of the fellowship and being a part of his ministry, he still, as an act of forgiveness, you know what, man? I'm going to entrust you to feed my sheep. You lied. You cut the man's ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane. You've been quick-tempered for the last 3 years. But you know what? In spite of all of that, Peter, you know, I've already told you that I'm going to build my church upon. But guess what? Even though after the lie, you know, I'm still entrusting you to feed my sheep. Now, Peter, do you love me? You know, and so, you know, even with that, I mean, because, you know, most of us, like, okay, you know what, you know, if you lie, I just don't know if I can trust you again. I mean, you know, you've been with me all this time, and then, you know, when the heat gets a little thick, you know, just to save your neck, you know, you're going to lie about even knowing me, being a part of the fellowship, really?
And Peter was a chump. Peter punked out.
Yes.
Peter punked
you know,
out.
And most of us are like, okay, you know what, you know, I need someone that can man up. You know, I don't need no
fight.
So, you know, so most of us would have said, okay, you know what, Peter, you blew it. I'm going to have to go to somebody else. You know, nothing personal, but you blew it. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to still use you.
And let me say this to you. Let me say this to you in terms of Peter being used too, because accountability did come into place because Peter found himself back where he was supposed to be. And
and
you remember the day of Pentecost, who was there? Who was
that's
there?
Right.
Peter.
Peter, that's
and
right.
Who led a great multitude to Jesus? Peter.
Peter.
Because he understood, okay, I messed up, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgiven. Now I got to be accountable.
Mm-hmm. I've been given another opportunity.
Now I have to be accountable.
Yep.
I need to be where I'm supposed to be in that upper room.
Mm-hmm.
So I can receive what I need in order to fulfill what was spoken over me.
That's
when
right.
He said, upon this rock. Hello.
That's right.
Upon this
rock. And Peter even forgave himself for the lie. He even forgave himself. Yes. He even forgave himself.
Yes. Absolutely so. Absolutely so. Because I know for me, and I thank the Lord God Almighty that he says my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Because you know what? Me and Brother Peter would have been kind of through. We would have been on the outs.
Mm-hmm.
You know how
mm-hmm.
we do. Again, we don't always apply the same mercy that was administered to us.
That's true. That's true.
Again, we have to be true too. We have to be true, and that's why we have to seek more of God, because if we don't, we'll do what comes natural, you see.
That's the,
we'll cut
that, that's
the cord.
True.
You see, throw people
that, that,
away.
That's
we
true.
Will. We will.
That, that's true. We are so quick to withhold grace and mercy. You know, I observed a post I put on Facebook last week. The first post I put, you know, when the killings first happened at Mother Emanuel, you know, I said, you know, let's pray, you know, and we believe God, you know, that He's going to just, you know, uphold the survivors, and that justice would be done in this case. I got so many likes, but a few days later, when I began to actually pray for the killer, pray that he would receive salvation, and that God would begin to, you know, do a work in his life, because at the end of the day, you know, he needs to be saved too. And when I put that, I said, now, as we continue to pray for the Charleston survivors and those that have been affected, you know, at the church and in the community by these killings, let's not forget to include the killer in our prayers too, because he needs to receive Christ Jesus. He needs salvation, and he needs to experience the love of God. I didn't hardly get any likes on that. None.
Right.
None.
Yeah, because again, you know, our first inclination is to throw the stone, you see, and because of the crime that was done, because of the act that went into what was committed, you see, that right there was such a sore spot, a hard place.
Yes.
You know, for folk to digest. And that's understanding, you know. That's understanding.
Right.
That's definitely
right.
Understanding. So they too have to work out, you know, their process. I mean, again, you know, we know intellectually reading the book that talks about, you know, praying, you know, for those who despitefully use us and those who hurt us and loving our enemies and, you know, and praying for them. We know that. We know that. But what has to happen, the heart has to connect with the word so that the word then becomes
true.
Living in the heart and the transformation
that
takes place.
That's true. And then, as you say, even with that, you know, it's a part of our maturity as Christians. Now, granted, probably 15 or 20 years ago, I wouldn't be going to God about nothing about the killer. Because, you know, I've grown and matured in my Christian walk, I understand and I can see him the way God sees him, despite the fact that what he did was so egregious. But, you know, Jesus still loves him just as much as he loves you and me. This man is in need of salvation, and it needs to
That's
be
right.
delivered, and he needs to be saved. So
That's right.
my
he,
question to
does.
Me, yeah, so if I don't pray for him, then who will? Because if God is concerned just as much as his soul as he is anybody else.
This is true. And see, Pastor Ava and those who are listening, I think it's important that you are true to where you are in God. That you are true to where you are in God. And you know, again, that we're always stretching and we're always reaching higher, you understand, to become more like him. Because Pastor Bridget is not quite where Pastor Ava is. you know, Pastor Ava talking, you know, because I feel some kind of way about that, you know. And not to say that I don't want him to be saved, but I want... There's a part of me that want him to get some suffering and to get some stuff back.
Right.
You know,
now, I'm not saying he doesn't need to be held accountable for his crime. And I'm not saying he needs to receive whatever the law says is due him for his crime. And I'm all for that. But at the end of the day, I have to be concerned, as Jesus is, about all souls.
I agree.
I agree. Yeah. I guess. I was, and I just, you know, went back to that, to the last episode we had when we talked about breaking the chains of,
yes.
of
mm-hmm.
you know, of that whole thing about betrayal, you know, and so
mm-hmm.
I mean, I do know that the Lord, and that's why I said people have to, you know, you have to accept where you are, but at the same time, be willing to extend and to grow and to move forward. And that's why Paul said, I reach for the mark of the higher calling. You
mm-hmm.
see, I know I'm not there yet. I haven't obtained, okay, but I'm reaching. I'm pushing forward. I'm pushing
mm-hmm.
forward. Not to excuse if what you feel is what you feel
right.
is okay. But that's, you know, you're reaching higher. You're reaching higher. So I brought that up. I brought that up just to say to folk who may feel that way that, you know, God ain't mad with you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, God ain't
That's
mad
true.
With you. And so so we do pray. We do pray that
mm-hmm.
his soul gets saved. You
mm-hmm.
see, we do pray that his soul gets saved. But that the Lord
Amen.
Rebel comes out of me every now and then, the Lord Radical, you know. I ain't going to tell y'all what my nickname was growing up, but every now and then that little nickname comes out. It comes out. But at the end of the day, Pastor Ava, we do want him to be saved. We do. We do pray
we
that God save his soul and that he doesn't die and go to hell. We
mm-hmm.
do. We do pray that. Amen.
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 We know he's gonna die in prison, and more than likely he's probably gonna get the electric chair. But
you know we don't
want him to die and go to hell.
Yeah,
as
a good friend of mine would say, you know, why live here and go through all this hell and then die and then go to hell? That's just way
Amen.
Too much hell. That's
Amen.
Way too much
Amen.
Hell.
Amen.
All right, I kind of want to move on. I want to invite if those who are listening or want to call in and to chime in into the conversation and to have your say, you can dial 646-929-06. 30, and what you have to do to chime in is to press 1 if you want to add to the conversation with me and Pastor Ava, if you want to have your say-so. So I invite you now to call in, and to perhaps you may want to have a question that you want to ask us, or you just want to be able to add perhaps to somebody's life who may need to hear the word that's in your mouth. So you may have something to add. So just feel free to call in, and when you call in, you must press the number 1 in order for me to connect you to us so that you could have your say. But as we move on in this conversation that we're having tonight on a very, very important and powerful subject matter, what is forgiveness
Amen.
About?
Amen.
I do believe that God rejoices as we grow in grace and knowledge in all areas of our lives.
Amen, Pastor.
And,
Amen.
And that's what he wants. He wants us to grow in areas of our lives so that we can become a more perfected body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So as we press on, I didn't see any lines lit up just yet. I want to just lay out a couple things. What are some of the myths of about forgiveness? What are some of the myths? So I'm going to name a couple things, and you may want to get your pens, and I would hope you had gotten your pens early when I asked you to draw a picture of what forgiveness looked like to you. Draw that picture. Still, if you haven't done that exercise, again, you know, Pastor Bridget typically give out exercises when we have our discussion on Totally Whole with me. So, want to give out a couple of assignments as do Dr. Rosemary. So mentioning myths. So one of the myths I want to mention. Is the myth of forgiveness is invalid unless is accepted by the offending party? Okay, that's a myth. That's a myth. We should only forgive if we're going to get an apology. You hear that, Pastor Ava?
I hear that.
Another myth is forgiveness means you have to reconcile with the offender. Another one is forgiving means that you are saying to the offender you're innocent. Another one is we should only forgive if the person deserves it, and that's where I was when I shared with you how I held on to all of that unforgiveness for all those years because I felt like the person didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
We should only forgive when the offender asks for forgiveness. Pastor Ava, what say you?
I want to chime in on the myth about we should only forgive about when the offender, if we're going to reconcile with the offender. And I want to say this because actually I was talking to a group of people a little while ago, and a lady had brought to my attention and was wanting my, my views on this, that there was a family member in the family who had been guilty of molestation of a child that was in the family. And, you know, actually had gone to prison and did a few years of jail time for it and was out. And, of course, you know, the family, you know, reluctantly kind of, you know, brought him back into the fellowship of the family. Some other family member kind of thought that she truly did not forgive the fact that, you know, she didn't trust him with the children. And my response to her was, just because you forgive a person of an egregious act doesn't mean that, you know, you have to be buddy with them and go, you know, to the mall with them and get them a Christmas gift. I say, no, you can say, look, I forgive you, I love you, but no, you can't watch my kids. You know, and that's not taking back forgiveness, and that's not saying that, okay, well, you know, I'm going to hold a grudge. It's just walking in wisdom. You know this person struggles with a pedophilia, so why would you put your children at risk? You can forgive and still, you know, walk in wisdom as it relates to a person's weaknesses. You know, and so the fact that, you know, you forgive a person doesn't mean that, okay, that, you know, at Christmas time, you know, you owe them a Christmas gift or they owe you something. You can forgive and still say, okay, I forgive you, I love you, but we ain't friends and, you know, we never will be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amen. Amen, amen, and that's real. That
mm-hmm.
is definitely real. That's definitely real because, you know, sometimes because of bad teaching, you know,
mm-hmm.
bad counsel, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that goes back again to, you know, forgiveness without the accountability, you know, putting people, you know, in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
To find themselves back into that place where the crime was committed, you see. And so that right there, I see nowhere, you know, in terms of teaching holistic healing where that becomes a guiding point, a goalpost for what forgiveness is truly, you know, if that's, does that mean, you know, true forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I stated before in our last discussion, there are sometimes when reconciliation, you know, does come about. I mean, we know that when Jesus came and that we received forgiveness, he reconciled us to the Father.
That's true.
But there's also this, you know, the scripture where we talk about, you know, repentance, you know, repentance. Confess your sins and, you know, you repent of your sins and God is faithful and just to forgive us.
Amen.
And so, you know, been getting a whole, you know, debate and conversation about that whole piece about forgiveness, repentance, rather. And so, you know, there are some things that you just won't be reconciled. You know, you just can't reconcile with. And you know, just like you can't tell a wife who's been battered and who's lived in a situation of being terrorized and tortured and horrified by her spouse. You see, they gonna near killed her. You see, and he hasn't gotten his heel, and there's no turning around for him. But yet, you know, you've had folks tell him go back. He said okay. He's sorry. And all is forgiven, and in plenty, you know, there have been plenty cases like that where people have sent folk back, and they end up in their grave.
That's true.
So that's not wisdom, you see.
That's
not
true.
Wisdom.
There
could be no reconciliation for that.
Right. Unwise.
We're not getting back together, baby. It ain't
that's
gonna be
true.
Back down memory lane. We're not going there. Okay. We're not hooking up again. You see. That's not gonna happen. There will be none of that stuff.
Right.
We have to sever ties completely. So, that's a myth. Moving on, I wanna talk about the short time we have. What are the downsides of unforgiveness? I'm gonna kinda move through this. We got a couple more minutes on the line. I mean, on the air. So, what are some of the downsides of unforgiveness? Anger, hostility, negative spirit, being pessimistic, and even sickness. The downsides.
These are some
of the downsides of unforgiveness. Anger, hostility,
true.
You know, negative spirit, being pessimistic, even sickness.
Unforgiveness.
So what are some of the
can bring sickness to the body.
And so then what are the upsides of forgiveness? Some recent studies show that people who are taught to forgive become less angry, more hopeful, less depressed, less anxious, less stressed, which leads to a greater physical, spiritual, and emotional well-being. And let me quote this here. Mayo Clinic even reports forgiveness is good for your health in that it produces healthier relationships, stronger immune system, improved heart health, my gosh, higher self-esteem, and even low blood pressure. So, you know, some of us got some of that stuff going on. We may want to check ourselves and see what's going on. You know, make sure that, again, on that scale, and I use the scale all the time, on that scale from 1 to 5, you see 1 being the lowest and 5 being the highest, where are you? What's going on with you with this forgiveness piece?
I think people need to, you know, do self-examination because if, you know, you come into the press, every time you see someone, you know, that did you wrong or did you dirty and, you know, every time you see them, you rolling your eyes, sucking your teeth, you know, mumbling under your breath, you probably still have some harbored ill will toward them. So you might want to check yourself on that.
Amen. And so thank you, Pastor Ava. So moving on, some of the steps to forgiveness are identify, acknowledge your feelings about the offense. Number two, say what wasn't okay about the offense. Number three, don't focus on what will be the offender's response. When thinking about forgiving, your feelings and emotions start to overwhelm you. Take a step back to pause and reach into your stress management bag and pull out the technique of exhaling and inhaling. All right? And number four, put your energy into being healed and whole. That's why this radio broadcast, thank you, Dr. Rosemary Cook, is called Totally Whole. And then lastly, but it's not the only thing, take back your power to be free by releasing the hurt,
the offender cause. And
yes.
as I sum it up, let me say something, let me share something with you that I heard about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a liberating gift that a person can give to themselves. So thank you, Pastor Ava, when you said earlier about forgiveness, you have to forgive yourself.
Amen.
All right? Forgiving yourself. And so, Pastor Ava, in the short time that we have, tell us a little bit about your book and how we can support it.
Oh, God
bless
you, Pastor
Bridget. How the listening audience can contact you.
Thank you, Pastor Bridget. Yeah, it is a book, actually, that I began working on while pastoring in Philadelphia, and it was published earlier this year. And the book, published towards the end of last year, 2014. The book is called The Daughters of Zeke, and actually it's the whole account of Zelophehad's daughters, his five daughters, found in Numbers chapter 27. Zelophehad died and left five daughters and no sons. And the law said that women were not allowed to inherit property, were not allowed to be landowners, and they said, what can we do to change this? And so they actually challenged the laws of Moses and became victorious, and the book is about their process and their struggle to overcome what they felt was an unjust law.
Wow.
Getting their daddy's inheritance.
Awesome, awesome. Wonderful. So how can they get this book? How can they contact you
the book,
if they so desire?
Yeah, the book is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com. Those two places, certainly, you know, I do have the book. It's called The Daughters of Z.
Okay. Wonderful. And how can they contact you?
They can contact me. I'm on Facebook, or my email address is acts2028@ymail.com. And yes, that is the biblical verse, Bible verse and chapter, acts2028@ymail.com. Or you can actually reach me also as well on Twitter, Pastor Avis at Pastor Avis C on Twitter.
Thank you, Pastor Ava. We appreciate you sharing with us tonight, and may the blessings
bless
of the
Pastor.
Lord
bless
be
you,
upon
Pastor.
You and add up no sorrow and maketh rich in your life. God bless you. Thank you so kindly for sharing with us. Well, I'm about to sign off, and if those of you who would like to contact me, you can reach me via email, Living It Up Ministries, and that's living without a G, it up ministries at yahoo.com. Or you can send me a friend request to my Facebook. That's Pastor Bridget Goings Gray. Hopefully I'll hear from you, and you'll join with us again next week, and I'll be back in 2 weeks. Until we meet again, I say to you, beloved, stand strong and stay positive and live life the way God has promised for us to live. Amen. Peace and blessings be unto you. God bless. And do check out our promo.
Welcome to the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and your soul. Every Monday, it is Totally Whole with Pastors Bridget and Pastor Cook. Every Tuesday, it is the old school mix with the world famous DJ Davey D playing the hottest old school R&B, hip hop, and reggae mixes around. Every Thursday, there's something new just for you. The first Thursday of the month opens with Total Empowerment with Angela Hardy of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa. The second Thursday of the month is Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey talking about relationships. Get your relationship questions answered with One Love, One Connection, One Us. The third Thursday of the month is Reverend Jamel Gilliam with the Man Show. It's time to man up with the brother himself, Reverend Jamel, on the Sacred Masculine. Every fourth Thursday of the month, it is the Inner Consciousness with Reverend Harvey L. Bailey. It is the self-help show. And just for you, we have a special. On the fifth Thursdays of the month, we have Arlene Cahet coming back with Healing Paradigms, and she's going to offer you all the healing that you need. On Sundays, we have Updraft with the delightful Deletta Gillespie. You won't want to miss an hour or a minute or a day on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul.